I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, this episode of Enough About Me is a little... I just finished this interview with Patrick Moynihan. He's the guy who turned down... He runs that school in Haiti. We talked about it yesterday. Turned down $100,000 from Kraft. It's a long-winded interview with him. He talks and talks and talks and talks. I was getting frustrated. Tried to cut him when I could. I didn't like him before. I don't like him now. But I felt, you know, he wanted to come on. He said he was nervous about it being a tough interview. I don't think he's experienced one of those, I guess, yet. So we went back and forth and all these things and fought it out. And, you know, I'm as frustrated now as I was before. But I do appreciate him taking his time out of his day. And I'm sure some of his heart is in the right place, though. I just think going to the Globe and publicly telling them that they turned down 100K from Kraft because of what he did is just... You know, just a total dick move, to be honest with you. But he comes on here and fights it out with me anyway, Patrick Moynihan, who runs a school in Haiti that turned down the $100,000 donation from Robert Kraft. I will be the guest on this episode of Enough About Me. I'm trying to think what else before we get to it. It's probably about 30, 35 minutes in length. Yeah. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to get to before we start this. We have a busy rest of the week, though. We're going to have a few more of these for you here as well. I'm trying to think. Oh, I know what I was thinking. Moroso, if we can find the guy who runs the podcast Cold, I'm 10 episodes in. It's honestly the best true crime podcast. A little recommendation for you guys when you're not listening to this, because God knows there's not much else to listen to right now. This podcast Cold focuses on the murder or disappearance of Susan Powell, a Utah woman, about 10 years ago. You probably remember the story if I describe her husband, Josh, who definitely did it, obviously, claims he took his kids camping, young kids camping overnight in a snowstorm when it was like minus 20 or something in Utah. And then they came back and she wasn't there, and he obviously did it and they had issues, but they have a tremendous amount of audio. Interviews with detectives. He kept a audio diary. His father, Steve Powell, was a fucking whack job, keeps a diary. She, Susan, the woman, is in a lot of stuff as well. It's edited perfectly. It sounds great, which must be nice. It is a tremendous amount of information that is laid out that makes it really clean, really does make sense. It's honestly the best true crime podcast I've ever heard in my life, Cold. I have no skin in the game. I'm just recommending it because it's really good. If you guys want to listen to something while you're not listening to this or other podcasts, if you're looking for another podcast, I cannot recommend that one highly enough. I think it's 18 episodes, and I listen to one every day when I run. So, you know, they're like an hour long. you could binge it probably if you're driving back and forth to work in a week, maybe. And it's not slowed down for me at all. I've started a million of these true crime ones. After two or three episodes, I just drop out. I get bored. It gets muddled. It doesn't make sense. You can tell it's not a real story there. I still have the allergies, but this one is great. I actually want to get the guy on this running and just talk to him about it, because I am so impressed with how good it is. Can't recommend it enough. And so the rest of the week should be interesting as well. We have a couple of guests lined up, but this is a spirited one with this guy Patrick Moynihan, who can friggin' talk you down. Talk. Got offended a couple of times. Didn't like my language. Didn't like my criticism of the Catholic Church, which he is a deacon of. A finger-wagging deacon of the Catholic Church who has issues with people's sexual morality. His name is Patrick Moynihan, and he is the guest on Enough About Me. Okay, so it's been a pretty big story around here anyway, and somewhat nationally. I know he's made some radio appearances, but Patrick Moynihan joins me from Haiti, I think, this morning. This afternoon, I should say. Right, Patrick?
Yes, I'm calling you from Haiti. In fact, the first thing we got to discuss is how you tricked me into calling you on my dime.
That's
true. It was pretty crafty of you.
It's the podcast world. We're trying to save every penny we can. I would take a $100,000 donation from Robert Kraft for the podcast. I'm not going to lie to you. You rejected the $100,000. The quote you gave to the Globe, which we'll get to, I guess, now, is The last thing I wanted was a donation from Robert Kraft. I could not be silent. I had to stand up. Well, that's after, obviously, the story goes on, chasing Kraft for a couple of years to get the donation. Once you got it, you then turned it down. I guess my question is the obvious one. Why?
Well, I think one of the things I'd like to correct, it's not a misquote in the story. I misspoke. What I meant to say was the last thing I wanted to receive was the email that I received. Because under the conditions I received it, it was immediately gut-wrenching. So
meaning what?
Saying, you know, I said that Brian McQuarrie is an excellent reporter. He got it exactly right. But what I meant to say and what I mean is, you know, I'm sitting there at Providence College getting ready to speak to the Faculty Senate. It was an ironic day because my brother Brian was actually down in D.C., and testifying before Congress. Mm-hmm. I, of course, got the more illustrious and esteemed group to speak to that day. But I was going in preparing for that talk, and I had no idea because things were completely dead as far as I was concerned. And I would think that somebody, you know, I would have to assume that Dan Solera is a professional at what he does. So it was completely out of left field and extremely gut-wrenching to realize. Because in that moment, it was very clear to me, very clear, almost everything that was going to happen after that.
Well, why weren't you more proactive in the weeks leading up to it? Why didn't you reach out to the Patriots and say, hey, just in case you say yes on this one, heads up, I'm going to turn it down?
Because for all we knew, it was already dead. You know, you're absolutely correct, and I have, have never been ashamed of being a beggar. I have spent 22 years,
part of your
over
job,
two
right?
decades, chasing money mm-hmm. and advocating for the needs of the people in Haiti. And so I did relentlessly go after the possibility that Mr. Kraft could help us. We started with their reaching out to us in the sense that the Rev had asked us to participate in a Haitian Heritage Night. Unfortunately, shortly after that, my father passed away, and Mr. Kraft was kind enough to honor that and just give $10,000 to us at that time.
Kraft
is perfectly honorable. There's not an issue in that gift.
Kraft is friends with your brother, correct?
I would say that they must know each other, yeah.
Yes, okay.
You guys in Boston, you guys in Massachusetts really hang hard. So
yeah, we all know each other. So point is, anyway, so you chased them for a while, you know, started in 2017, you went to Foxborough specifically, then Kraft comes out and says, we're going to give you $100,000. Solera says, do you want a one lump sum or two hits of $50,000? And I have to be honest, I mean, for you to turn down $100,000 for this school, which you say could help kids for an entire year, is nuts, absolutely nuts. And I feel like you're playing God with this money and with these kids, which
absolutely
is
not.
Oh, I mean,
absolutely
by any definition.
I can
definition.
Tell you that I'm very comfortable with Why? Saying that who God is and who I am not, which is not God nor Jesus Christ.
Why did you say no?
I just want to clarify a point because we have time here. This is a podcast.
Yeah, Go ahead. We know you're not
we
Jesus
intensified
Christ,
that seeking of funds because Sony Michel came onto the team and we thought, wow, what a great connection, what an obvious possibility. Mm-hmm. And that was why in the fall I did drop a packet off at the field. It was a great day, went up to the field. The Patriots are already doing very well. I got a great ride up in the elevator. The elevator driver was a great guy.
Wonderful.
I said
great.
To him, the Patriots are doing well. He said, yes. And then I said to him, well, you know, we all know that's due to your excellent work. And he said, they thank me every day. Didn't even miss a beat.
Well, I'm glad you got
walked in, dropped off the packet, mm-hmm. was completely hopeful. So you are absolutely right. Was completely hopeful of that support.
So fast forward. Go ahead.
We can't just take money unconditionally.
Well, okay. Right? So I guess my larger point is then, so Robert Kraft goes in to Florida. Gets arrested for getting a hand job or whatever, a blow job, whatever happened in Florida. It is now a misdemeanor. It was not sex trafficking. That's been proven not to be the case. So because that happened, you are going to say, I am better than this person. I'm going to say no to this person. I am not going to accept this money.
Hold on.
No, as you just said, we're in no rush. To me, you're sort of publicly shaming him and you're saying, hey, look at me. I am better than this person. We are better than this guy. Where he's offering to give $100,000 to your school. If I were on the board of your school, whoever, I would call you in and say, you're taking this guy's money. Like, who the hell do you think you are?
Okay, Kurt, I get your point, but I'm going to have to get some ground rules here because I'm hoping that my mom listens to this and she loves all 8 of her children. So we're going to have to keep the language within that perspective.
Okay? Well, okay, just, well, let's
respect. I respect you as a professional journalism. I know this is a podcast, and you know I ask
okay,
well, you respect
I'm,
me
okay.
from
you can use
where
your,
I'm
you can
from.
Use your language.
So what I'm saying is that I am not judging at all. I'm glad you've asked this question.
Of course,
and I'm glad
you
had the time
to
clarify.
Of course,
I am not in any way judging the actions of the alleged actions of Robert Kraft on the day that he walked into the spa or the second day that he walked into the spa. I actually have come forward. That created a context which makes this gift unacceptable because we run a school, you know, that is encouraging young men and women to pursue a life, a quality life, a healthy life. So we would not want to confuse them by taking money from somebody who had supported an act, right, allegedly been involved in the sex trade. The sex trade is specifically a bad situation for Haiti. It is how AIDS came to Haiti in the late 70s and the early 80s.
Sure.
So it's specifically a problem.
Sure.
But I want to be clear here. I'm not actually in any way pointing any fingers or judging Mr. Kraft at all. What I'm saying of his private activity, and as you know from your colleagues on sports radio, mm-hmm. I said, you know, if you ask me, I don't think there's any reason to see the tape. The judge can see the tape. The jury can see the tape one time, and that's enough. And people can make their, you know, that can be adjudicated. I have no reason to believe that that tape needs to be shown. What I am saying is Mr. Kraft's public activities, which have happened in the public,
such as
can be objectively analyzed.
Such as what?
And that's what we need to talk about today.
Which actions?
One would be the fact that he has not denounced in any way made it clear that he does not support the sex industry.
Well, Patrick, hold on.
Willingly
on,
or
Patrick,
unwillingly,
Patrick, you
willing
can't do anything
to be part
until
of it or had any interest in it, even if he had made errors, if it proves that he has made that error,
There's an ongoing case right now. You know he's not going to do that while it's going on. That doesn't make any sense.
You mean he can't denounce prostitution at the same time that he's alleging he wasn't involved in it?
Well, of course not. What do you mean? So you want him to give a statement and say that he denounces prostitution?
Yes.
So then you'll accept
whether
his,
or not he
then
did it or not.
What if he doesn't?
What if he says of a illegal act in the state of Florida has nothing to do with what he believes?
But what if he's okay?
So that's
Give me a second.
The second one issue that I'm specifically trying to highlight and that I have a specific perspective on. Okay, so because I work in Haiti, I have an interest in seeing people denounce prostitution and the sex trade. Because I live in the United States, and oddly, by irony, when I'm not in Haiti, I now actually live in Florida. And I'm in the diocese of Palm Beach, not in the not necessarily the direct county he is in. I'm in one of the 3 counties that was named.
Go ahead.
I have an interest as a citizen that the courtroom is not used as in an uncivil and absolutely unacceptable way to attack the public servants who simply did their job in reporting a potential threat to public health. So starting with Ms. Herzog, who simply went in, did her job as a health inspector, to pull her records, to take her through a crucible, to put people on the stands for hours simply to maintain one's reputation, shows a tremendous disregard for other human beings. So that's the second problem. And the third problem is the most egregious, because Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer, Jack Goldberger shouldn't be hired by anyone, in my opinion.
So you think
a guy who participated in Jeffrey Epstein's historically
we all know the Epstein story
outrageous
deal. I agree. We all know that. So right. you think, hold on.
I know you just talked for 2 minutes.
I know we've had Patrick,
I'm going to finish.
Patrick, I've had Dershowitz on the podcast. We know we've talked. People listening know. Okay. So I agree.
So those are the three problems. So let's talk about those three problems, because Patrick, can you just be quiet?
Can we talk back and forth for a minute?
Personal behavior.
Can you be quiet for 30 seconds?
Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So part of the reason you're not going to allow your kids to get money for food and clothes and shelter and books and whatever from Robert Kraft, $100,000, is because he's trying to fight a misdemeanor. And because he hired a lawyer who is, you know, not disbarred anywhere and is one of the best lawyers in America by every account, because he decided to hire that lawyer to try and help him in his case where the onus, by the way, is on the prosecution. Your issues, those are really your core issues and why you're not accepting money.
No, my core issue, that's exactly what you said, was the first one. The core issue is that Mr. Kraft, in his pursuit of protecting his reputation, has not taken responsibility for his alleged acts. Nor has he even just publicly said that he knows that the sex trade, which prostitution is part of, is absolutely antisocial, harmful to human beings, and should not be accepted. So therefore, he could denounce all of that and even hold out that he wasn't part of it. But by not stating that, by acting as if the most important thing here is maintaining his reputation through technicalities, I, as a U.S. citizen, not as his moral judge, I, as a U.S. citizen, say enough. That is not acceptable.
And that's, why didn't you?
I'm only on a podcast because you want to talk about it. I mean, otherwise, it'd just be my opinion.
Right, well, of course, but that's really not true because you went to the Globe. The Globe didn't come hunting for you. What was the process? Do you know McCrory personally? How did you go to the Globe to pitch them this story that you didn't want to talk about publicly?
I didn't say I did not want to talk about it. What I said is we're talking about it today.
How did you get to the Globe?
What I'm saying is the reason why I went to the Globe is because it matters to us that this is a high-level case and situation wherein people are losing sight of what is truly at risk and at the core of this. You have had NBC Network in one of its written statements. I don't know if it was a transcript of a part of a show, but online, you know, in written statement said, called this a dalliance with ladies of the night. Okay. This happened in broad daylight, middle of the afternoon.
Wait, hold on. What are you talking about?
Hold on. Slow down.
What are you talking about?
What I'm saying is the minimization that has occurred on behalf of this whole situation is harmful to society. We cannot lose track of the fact that Robert Kraft got a hand job. It's a question of how to protect public health and the good of others. And the only way to protect public health and the good of others is to allow the law to do its work.
So you're a deacon in the Catholic Church, correct?
Yes.
Have you, before you continue working with the Catholic Church, did you stop at all until every single priest apologize for raping young children, the thousands and thousands of priests who raped kids? I mean, is that an issue for you or no?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Well, you want Robert Kraft
to me that human beings have been harmed? Absolutely.
You want Robert Kraft to apologize in my preview and everything in my actions and my ministry
to ensure that that doesn't happen? Do I follow, you know, diligently without any deviation, all of the rules that the church has put in place to protect children? Absolutely.
Well, you want Robert Kraft. Here's where it matters, Patrick.
No,
that's all I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that. You want Robert Kraft to apologize for what he did. Fine, before you accept his money.
We have to be careful about our semantics.
Is every single priest apologized?
What he did, that's up to him. I want him to as he said himself, I want to reclaim my reputation and I want to use my platform for good. And so I'm asking him, if you earnestly want us to use your funds to support what we do in Haiti, then denounce prostitution as part of the sex trade. We're all hypocrites. He has no reason to be worried that someone's going to say, wow, you denounce it now, but it seems that you're allegedly part of it. He's a big man. He's a strong person. He can say, we all gain sight at different times in our life. And today I'm standing forward to denounce prostitution, sex trade, and the impact it has on society. He can do that. That would actually be an actual way to start the path that he has talked about wanting to be on. He needs to first and foremost denounce what is at the core and the core question. And the whole reason the court case is going is for that. The court case is in no way moving forward or in no way is interested in his reputation or the outcome of that reputation vis-a-vis the NFL. The judge in Florida has no interest in that. He simply needs to adjudicate a situation. And obviously Palm Beach is, you know, trying to eradicate what has become an almost intractable problem. I mean, it's been years of this issue. When you figure that this is the same town that Jeffrey Epstein operated in, and this is, you know, this is not a small problem for Florida. People aren't paying attention to that. They're not, there's nobody even paying attention. It's got nothing to do with the Patriots for the people of these counties. It has to do with public health. It has to do with public safety, you know, and it just gets completely blown out of proportion and then minimized.
In 2000,
you know, then the language becomes right. Everything gets minimized because they don't want it to have some large impact. Well, the fact is, this is an opportunity to see the sex trade stop. You know, it's a place where we can say no.
It's hard for me. It's hard for me to hear somebody who's part of the Catholic Church wagging his finger about the sex industry. Catholic Church is the greatest crime syndicate in American history. They've raped thousands and thousands of kids in the last century. Thousands of kids. And I would say I'd be more worried about cleaning up that place before I started wagging my finger at Bob Kraft myself.
I spend a good part of every day being sad about the harm that has been
great.
Done.
That's great.
To
a lot of good that does for
but
those
I would
kids.
Like to bring out,
wonderful,
and this
awesome
is,
for
this
those
is
kids.
In no way.
Gee, Patrick Moynihan
stated.
Feels sad for 11 minutes a day because kids get raped. Wonderful. What a solution.
Okay, I don't know why this turns into an ad hominem attacks, but let me just finish my point. I think we need to take a broader understanding that if you look at, unfortunately, what has happened and been reported to have happened within the Boy Scouts, what has happened in so many of our U.S. institutions that we had faith in, that so many places, this in no way diminishes
the
church.
No.
I believe the hierarchy is trying to deal with that. The bishops are trying to come to terms with that very openly and becoming more and more transparent, publishing lists, doing everything they can. But the point is, this kind of abuse of children that you keep bringing out, which has no relationship to what
we're talking
about. Of course
it does. Totally relevant.
I understand why you bring it
out. Totally relevant.
All right?
Totally
because
relevant.
It's supposed to undermine my sense of confidence in myself or in my church.
Totally relevant.
What you don't
understand
is that's human behavior.
No, it's not.
Very outrageous human behavior that has been done in so many different
situations. Well, give me some other ones other than the Boy Scouts. Okay, I'll give you the Boy Scouts that's done to the level of the Catholic Church. You said so many places.
But,
give me some.
Kirk,
no, Patrick, you
Kirk,
said so many other places,
you
not
must,
me.
Kirk.
So list them. List them.
Okay, Kirk.
Yeah.
You must. I know that you're an intelligent human being. You must know that the first place that a tremendous amount of child abuse and sexual abuse occurs in the home.
Well, obviously, we're talking about
children.
We're talking about places.
Off this topic because you obviously don't have a sensitivity to what you're talking about.
Why do you want to move off this topic? I wonder why.
Is in the home. So I think we can stop there. And let's talk about whether or not it is good for society that
for the Catholic Church
to
still
level
exist.
And
I would say no.
Does not come out and make it clear that he denounces prostitution and the sex trade.
Well, the irony about the prostitution is not something that is on the table in any way, shape, or form. We'll move on. The Catholic Church is a disgrace in this whole thing. We agree on that. We'll move on. You say prostitution's an issue. I think, by the way, ironically, some people would accuse you of being a bit of a fame whore. You told the Boston Globe in the 2010 profile about you and your brother that you want to be in the Boston Globe. So this is, I think, something that you've been seeking. You've been looking for attention, and some might suggest this has been an outlet for you to find it. Is that a fair accusation?
Well, it's certainly not a fair accusation, but I do believe it, that it is my job.
You didn't say that in 2010.
The whole point of that statement was to point out that it is my job to draw attention to the work I do and find support for it. In no way do I see what we're doing here as opportunistic or in any way the way that you might want to characterize it. I will say, though, that anonymity in what I do means no funding, because people have to know what you're doing to fund what you're doing. But we are hoping that what people find in this is a reason to stand with us as we stand with everyone who understands what is happening in the developing countries because of sex trade, that those come to stand with us to say, here's an opportunity in the great United States of America to get this right and do this right. So this is all about standing up against something that is having a very negative impact on people's understanding of the actual issues. This is certainly not, Kurt, I'm going to ask you to have a sense, a modicum of human sensitivity to the fact that you're talking to somebody who loves his brother, and this is certainly not doing anything to aid him by me having this conversation.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know you have a reputation for being hard and putting people's face, but let's just keep it to the topic.
There's a story. Don't tell me what to do. B, you gave an interview to The Globe in 2010 where you said, I like being in The Globe. Then you gave The Globe this story. If you don't think that's relevant to this, then I don't know what to say.
If you would like to challenge the first of all, that Brian McQuarrie has written an excellent book on the very topic that you felt was extremely important.
Brian McQuarrie is an exceptionally
good journalist.
If you'd like to
drag The Globe into this and Brian McQuarrie and the fact that a journalist knows a story from not a story, that's fine. But I think Brian McQuarrie will stand for himself. So I think you'll have to do that with him.
The fact is,
I went to The Globe because I needed this to be handled in a manner that I could control the timeline.
How many people are on the board of your school? How many people are on the board at your school? So for the $100,000 gets sent to you, right?
Dan Solera offers you the hundred. And again, we should talk about that whole email because it's not the unacceptability of the gift under the circumstances. The gift was presented in the most bizarre way relative to my experience of over two decades in receiving emails because, as you very rightly said, we chased them for the longest time, hearing nothing, not a peep. We call it on a regular basis. Can we have a meeting? Can we talk about this? Can we work together on what it might mean that Sony Michel is now involved, a member on the team? Can we do something? Nothing. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, in the most unexpected way, in the most inappropriate way. Nobody has ever written me.
Why is that inappropriate? That's inappropriate?
Nobody from a major foundation has ever written us an offer email that says, hey, you want it in a lump sum or over 2 years?
Why is that inappropriate?
It just isn't.
You don't listen. I'm asking you a question. Hold on. Why is that inappropriate? What's inappropriate about that? They're offering you $100,000. Why is it unseemly?
Because usually it was as if here's $100,000. No questions asked. No declarations of use, no follow-up, no format, no formal process. That's not the usual experience that you have.
So when that goes, sophisticated philanthropy
in the United States.
I think the clear thing is we should just focus on this.
We did not receive a check. We did not send back a check.
Okay, but who do you say between the process of that email, let's just say that one, and then you going to The Globe, how many people do you talk to before you reject that offer?
Well, most importantly, my senior staff, which has the full responsibility for directing our project.
Nobody stepped in and said, Patrick, are you out of your mind? Like, we're taking this money.
No, but people realized it was a very, very difficult decision. And in terms of turning down the gift, that was, you know, clearly, you know, as we looked through it and thought about the acceptability under the current circumstances. But, you know, I didn't outright turn down the gift. I actually wrote to Dan Slarin and said there is a process by which this could be possible, but it would have to involve a conversation with Mr. Kraft and an awareness that we're going to have to go through these steps. And then we could, and I, in fact, offered personally to accompany him in that process. Not that he needs, I'm just a person off the street, but I'm saying as one person willing to accompany him. And I said, you know, I think you're getting some very bad advice on how to fight this. I think there could be better ways if you want to reclaim your reputation and use your platform for good. Let's discuss that. No response. I was concerned that Dan Solera might not want to be a bearer of bad news. So I thought, well, we better make sure that this gets to Mr. Kraft. So then I wrote a card, personal card, again offering help, and then sent him copies of the email communications with Dan Solera, and then waited to see if there was any response. And there was no response.
Well, good for them. I'd tell you to go piss into the wind too at that point. I mean,
yeah, I know, because that's how you talk, but I was hoping he would be somebody with culture and maybe think about that.
We're not all culture like you, Patrick. I understand. But I mean,
everyday people.
Sure. No, I understand. You're better than I am. But I would say to you at that case, we just offered you $100,000. Now you're going to lecture me on how to live? Like, who do you think you are? I mean, honestly, that's my takeaway still.
I understand what you would have said, but I actually had, naive or otherwise, I had actual, authentic hope that we might finally hear from Mr. Kraft and then we could talk about it. Because imagine this. What if Mr. Kraft had reached out and we said, hey, if you really want to support us, it's very simple. All you need to do is let's reach out to Sonny Michel, for instance. Let's have him participate, and let's just simply say that prostitution is wrong, that the sex trade has been specifically damaged Haiti in the most amazing way. Only slavery has done more to Haiti negatively than the sex trade ended up bringing to Haiti when it brought HIV and caused Haiti to be re-marginalized because people thought it could be the origin. Which it was not. It was brought here. The problem was, you know, the issue, the epidemic was brought here from exogenously. It was not developed. It did not develop here. So the CDC actually published a statement saying the four H's, of which Haitians were one of them, because of the unfortunate situation of the boat people who came to the shores of Florida.
Right.
And misinterpretation of that, you know, of the illness and the whole situation. Haiti was re-marginalized. Given the fact that I've never met Sonny Michel, but given the fact that he is proudly from Haitian heritage and his mother and sister are from born here, I think he could understand that. And that might have been a route by which we could have worked. And we still could work through that. If Mr. Kraft is really interested in making sure the children at our school receive the support they need, then let's bring some clarity and transparency to this situation. And allow the world to know that the complete focus of what we're doing here is the support of the work that we're doing, and let's get it disassociated with the issues that Mr. Kraft is bringing forward. But in that, there must be a denouncement of prostitution because it is part of the sex trade.
Can't you understand?
Not an admission of involvement.
You made that clear. Can't you understand how, and I'm one of these people, who look at it, like you just said, Kraft made a very generous offer, whether you agree with it or not. Can't you understand how some people would say, geez, the decent thing to do is not to contact the Globe and rub this guy's face in it, just politely decline and move on? I mean, don't you understand how some people might think that? That's how I think.
Yes, I agree 100%. But, you know, unfortunately, sometimes, even when the burden is going to be quite great, we have to do what is completely right. So given the fact that we had this motivation of knowing how negatively impactful the sex trade is because of working in Haiti, adding to that the knowledge in around the issues being created by the hiring of Jeffrey Epstein and those things, because it wasn't just like yesterday I learned that. I was aware of that situation from when it began. Uh-huh. So those things coupling together made it necessary. You know, sometimes it is sufficient reason to do something of grave importance simply because you can and must. So given the opportunity to come forward and shine the light on this heinous issue, I didn't have a choice, because believe me, it would have been a much easier thing to just quietly turn it down and walk away. But you know, when we are quiet and we do things without action and we just do them with great passivity, often what happens, those things that are wrong in society just continue and continue and continue. And sometimes we have to take the sacrifices and make the effort to be fully engaged in making the world a better place.
Well, I thank you for taking your time out in your busy day. I'm out in Haiti, and we'll check with you down the line, I'm sure, as the story continues to go on. Thanks a lot, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.